more towards the west, I think.
More towards.
Evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order, March 2nd, 2020. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and for wisdom for the city councils we make our decisions tonight. And now if you'll please join me in a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1D is roll call, and I'll note for the record that all council members are present. And so we'll move to item 1E, which is citizen input. Is there a citizen tonight who would like to address the council? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So let's move to our current business. 4A is a resolution to adopt Title 6 of the Non-Discrimination Plan. And we have a resolution before us. And Sean, you're going to mention that we need this non-discrimination plan and for our Hawk system grant.
Yes, this is something, surprisingly, old fellow, we didn't have a copy of it already, but for federal funds for the Main Street Hawk system that we'll be putting in, you have to have a Title VI non-discrimination plan program in place, and so this is basically a form where we got from the state that he just put a city of old fellow in, or it's a city of old fellow, and the proper DOT, or sometimes you have to call it the program, which is a city safety program. So, really nothing. I'll answer any questions if you have any, but it's just basically stating that we don't discriminate based off of race, sex, age, all those fun things.
Gender, religion, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Council, do you have any questions? Entertain a motion to adopt.
Make the motion to approve the resolution.
Second it.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And let's move. Sean, on unfinished business, he was going to talk, say a few words about the Lions Park renovation.
Yeah. Sorry for not getting this on the agenda, but it was something we talked about. Ball field project, if you haven't noticed, has been going. We've had a few changes in plans, and so I just wanted to kind of give you a summary so you guys are all brought up to speed. This project was originally awarded. The architect who designed it had a 4-inch version, which is the base bid, and an option to put 6 inches of an infield material, infield mix in, which Diamond Dust was the product that he called out specifically. The benefit of that product was that it was a pumice material so that when it rained, the water would first go down through the, well, the pumice holds on to the water, but then excess water would drain all the way through. And you wouldn't have rain out situations if we had a hard rainstorm the next day or even in an hour later. With this material, we should be able to play on the fields. But talking to the supplier of Diamond Dust, even during the bidding process, he kind of stated, well, there's no real benefit of doing 6 inches of their material, which costs about $100 a yard. That 4 inches is plenty, and that's what they normally put down. The architect said that he always put 6 inches down, but then later he has stated this is the first time he's ever dealt with this product, so not quite sure there. So when we brought it to council, we awarded the 4-inch option, and work with the contractor to see if putting 2 inches of sand so we'd still have that 6 inches of storage for the water to soak down and get off the playing field. And So we did a change order for just under $50,000 for that, which was less than the $96,000 that would have cost to put the diamond dust material in, so about half the price. So we went forward with that. Now we're looking at the second change order where we've actually, the architect designed putting gates, additional gates into the dugouts, which Public Works actually said they didn't want. So we took that material out, or took that out, and then they also had the architect had a temporary construction entrance where they would have the trucks driving over the grass, and the consultant or the contractor would have to replace the grass that was damaged from all the truck driving. The method that our contractor used was actually hauling in material and wide tired trucks so that the load was much less, and they are actually using the asphalt pathway because, and they've agreed that they'll replace any damage if they do, if it does occur. But so with that, we got a deduct also, and then the architect designed they were increasing the infield size by about 20 feet, and there was really no need to increase them that far. So we brought the field back in and got a credit for that also. But we ran into some problems with the diamond dust material, the infield mix that was specced out by our consultant. The first shipment that was sent here, they said they would load 60 yards per truckload. This material is coming from Bliss, Oregon, so an hour or so on the other side of Boise. And when the truck showed up, our inspector said, that doesn't look like 60 yards. I went out and looked at it, like, there's no way that's 60 yards, just visually. And so when our contractor was placing on the field, first they loaded up in their little truck that holds 3 yards, and they hauled in, they estimated about 25 and a half yards of material. And so they started talking with the supplier, and the supplier said, oh no, there's 60 yards in there. Our material weighs 1,000 pounds a yard, and there's 60,000 pounds on there. And so our contractor, one of their representatives was in town, went and took a 5-gallon bucket, took it to the post office, weighed it. Doing all those calculations, it comes out about 28 yards of material. So we're getting half of what we thought we were getting. But the supplier is saying, no way, your numbers are wrong. You can't measure it that way. Well, they have come to an impasse. The second load that was coming here was on its way when these discussions started, and they sent it on to Redmond, I believe, and then they refused to send any additional trucks. So we have talked with our contractor, and even shortly after we awarded the project, they brought up this other material, which I've got a sample of each of them if you want to. That's first the diamond dust material that was originally spec, and this is Dura-Edge, which our contractor kind of brought up to us, but then when we started asking what would the price be, they kind of said, it's going to be more expensive, and so we kind of held off and stuck with the diamond dust. But now the diamond dust, and the Dura-Edge material weighs 3,000 pounds per yard, so it should weigh about three times the amount of what the diamond dust people say their material weighs. And if you feel it, there's a difference, but it's no way near
three times
the volume or the weight for the same volume.
Yeah.
So we have received a cost adjustment from them to put the Dura Edge in, and that change order is on the back of the sheet that I gave you. It's about, with the deducts, it's about $31,000 in addition. The Dura-Edge material is used by up to 27 different Major League Baseball fields. So it's a material that'll hold its shape, won't move on us as much as the diamond dust will. We figured it'll be a better product, and it'll be less maintenance for our crews over time. So, in any case, this will still keep us below the grant from RCO that is paying for 75% of our ball field project. And our bids came in, we had quite a few bidders for this project, and our bids came in much lower than what the architect had estimated. So we actually are, we started off well below our grant amount. And even with this change order, voltage change order, it'll still be, we're about $90,000 below, although we have some market or the architect fees, consultant fees, that will chew up some of that. But in any case, we just wanted to bring you up to speed so that the project didn't finish up and you find out that we did several change orders and we weren't informed of the project yet. So that's kind of a quick summary. Do you have any additional questions on the project?
So we went from, we went to 70 instead of 80 on the infield. Is there, like for a softball field, is there a, for like men's, is there a certain distance that it's supposed to be? Or are we making it too short for that?
I think we are, it's still going to be about a 10-foot increase on what our infields were currently. In the ballpark, our grass is kind of, is it, I think it's crept in over time and
right.
It's not a real uniform distance, but the infield will be larger than they are currently. But the consultant had factored in that they would be doing games with 85-foot bases on them, which is actually hardball, probably maybe between Little League and high school ball. I've never played a game that has 80-foot bases. And we've never had a tournament. Not really aware of the league. There was one tournament that was held here several years ago where they wanted 85-foot or 80-foot bases, and they played on 65-foot bases. And my understanding is they left without ever paying, so they're probably not welcome to come back without paying double. So to build those fields with that extra distance for something that really, I mean, the extra cost for something that probably will never, isn't in high demand. And those fields really aren't, the fences aren't far enough for, I think, hardball if you're playing, you know, 14, 15 year olds. So the field will be bigger than they are currently. So.
Is there a time, where's this DuraEdge coming from? Is that going to increase the contract time and impact the seasons as they stand, or?
Won't impact the seasons. The project has a completion date of April 15th. That is, I do mention that in the letter, that getting the clay comes from Pennsylvania, and this DuraEdge is a mixture of clay, silt, and sand, and it's an engineered mixture where they will guarantee that it will hold its form, it won't drift as we grade the fields and everything. And the mixer is a proprietary mixer that the subcontract on this project is working on becoming a regional supplier of DuraEdge. They aren't currently there, but they have used the product in the past. And so if everything goes as planned, by later this year, they'll have this material on stock in their Moses Lake shop for us to pick up if we need a certain amount to fill in some area or to top dress something. But the material and the mixer won't all be here until April 1st, the beginning of April. And they can mix 80 tons per hour. So about 12 hours of the mixing, they'll have the product, and they'll be hauling it. They still think they can, they told us they'll still meet that April 15th deadline, which beats the crunch for the ball field use, literally, and things starting up.
And then the 2 inches of sand that we've elected to put as a base versus the DuraEdge or the Diamond Dust, is there a, I'm sure you've talked to someone, but is there a potential of that mixing with that proprietary mix and throwing that off balance and maybe causing some problems with water retention? Because the bases are, you know, your bases would...
There shouldn't be any mixture. I mean, even with the DuraEdge with the 4 inches, or the Diamond Dust with the 4 inches, you've got this kind of cushion down the bottom. That 2 inches has been put in and graded already. Everything along the top. We don't believe there'll be any co-mingling of the materials.
Contamination.
And I mean, sand is a component of the dura edge in the first place, so shouldn't.
I think as long as we keep them up and rake them, you know,
the dura as edge it's will needed, it'll. And so when you're when it's applied, when you rake it, you're just kind of fluffing up the top half inch. So the rest of the material should be should stay fairly well compact, and it's got cohesion. Whereas the diamond dust, which is just a pumice material, even when it's wet, it doesn't. It's more like sand. It doesn't. You can't make a ball out of it. Whereas the dura edge will actually pack in better. It should hold its form.
So are we going to have one field with diamond dust on it?
They
took it out.
Nope, they put one load down. Which is supposedly 60 yards. We think it's more like 30 yards. But each field is going to take. We're looking at 340 yards per field or so.
So it's just the bottom.
It's
going to
be
on the bottom layer.
What they'll do is just blend it out, and it'll be in with the sand. Actually, I think they have told them to come back and get your material. We're not paying for 60 yards of it, but I'm pretty sure they will not come back and pick it up. So that's an argument between the contractor and the supplier.
Yeah.
The diamond dust doesn't have to be removed. It can just
the 2 inches. I mean, it acts like sand. I mean, essentially, we'll fluff it out. We actually, even that windstorm we had, the sales pitch is that it won't. It's not a dusty material. The diamond dust will not create a dust because it's larger chunks. But we had that windstorm, and a lot of that material blew onto the concrete and asphalt. So.
Doesn't blow away.
It hadn't been compacted and watered in, but over time, when you're not playing games on it, you're not watering it from games, it's going to dry out, and if it blows as bad as it did.
Yeah, it was bad.
We were having more. The architect has, when we started asking questions, he's never used this diamond dust material yet before, and he doesn't have any other contracts where he's calling it out for, so we're kind of wondering why it didn't.
So when it blew away, was still on a pile, or you guys had already spread it thin?
It had been placed in like a 4 to 6 inch. It had been dumped out of the back of a truck, kind of in a controlled dump, but it was...
Still, it wasn't spread out evenly throughout
the... Yeah, so there was places where it was probably thicker than the 4 inches that it was going to be placed at, and other places where it was thinner. So it had some peaks and valleys, but it did blow.
I believe in your normal winds, we'll be okay, you know, but that day that it blew, I mean, he even took that circle down that AJ had over there. You seen it?
Yeah.
It was a wicked wind that came by here. It was like...
But that material will be spread out with the sand, and it'll be less than probably a quarter of an inch when it's spread out over an area, and then it'll come with the dirt edge material on top.
That's good, Sean. The Public Works Department preferred the dura edge because the material, I think, isn't there some kind of guarantee that it isn't going to...
And with them using the dura edge mixer and using the clay from... We did look into getting the clay from Mica, Mutual Materials, the clay plant, south of Spokane, because we could get that quicker. But by using the dura edge specific clay, using their mixer, they'll stand behind the product with the warranty that it will not move on us, and so it'll hold its shape. The field will have a 0.5% slope from the pitcher's mound out, and the water should sheet off the fields, so we will not have any puddles and ponds there, and they'll get out of the playing surface, and they'll stand behind that if we have a problem. And we follow their rules of proper maintenance, that they'll stand back the product and come back and reshape the field if it doesn't hold.
Excellent. Thank you. Any more questions for Sean? Okay. Except for the well update. Except for the well, yeah, I was going to say, maybe you better give us an update on well 10.
Okay, the contractor's latest setback happened early last week, and they're losing air on their drilling tube. We're down about 670 feet, and we have enough water that it was flooding out their drilling operation. They need more air and more pressure. That's, they brought in a second compressor, and that's when they noticed there's just something wrong with their drilling column. And so they loaded it up and hauled it away last week, and I called them Friday asking for an update when they'll be back, and have not heard back from them. So it's their guy on site, so the foreman left with the pipe to get it down to Sandy, Oregon, here. So the guy on site stayed on it for about a week and a half before they'd be back. And so that would be the end of this week. They should be end of this week or start of next week. They should be back and drilling. So they feel they've got one day, one good day worth of drilling, and they'll be down to 900 plus feet. And right now they're estimating we have between 500 to 800 BPM. And once they got back up and running, you know, this last time they said they were going to be able to give us a better number, but they didn't make it to lunchtime. But they did knock out about 20 feet in that time, which they told us half an hour into it, we're going to be making about 30 feet an hour. And they got 20 feet in about 3 hours. And this project, I've never had a well project ever have so many hiccups and this head scratching issues, but everything indicates we have a straight hole, and we're now down in the water bearing area, and so we appear we'll have a productive well. Hopefully we hit another water bearing zone or two to add on to what we're getting.
So what's
estimated
our
static level of about 360 feet.
What's our target depth?
We're limited to going 1,000 feet deep. Our target depth of this, just go maybe 15 feet past, once we have 1,500 gallons a minute, would be a great time to stop.
There's a there's an interbed between the Grand Ron and the Wanapum, and you once you hit that interbed, that's when you stop.
You start getting some.
Because you don't want to go into the Grand Ron, because then you'd have to case all the way down to it. Mm-hmm. So you can't co-mingle. You have to stop before you hit that. And when you get into that interbed in between the two of them, the Aspects Engineering will make a decision to stop the hole there. But you go until you hit that interbed. Some places it's over 1,000 feet. Some other places it's 940. Like on our well down there in that area was 940.
So our Moselex Water Right Certificate or Report of Examination limits us to 1,000 feet. So we can't go beyond 1,000 feet. But we want to stop as soon as we have a good quantity and quality of water, because eventually, the deeper you go, you get some water that isn't aesthetically pleasing, and not sure if it's potable or not, but nobody wants to drink it, even if it is healthy.
So, once again, I think I've asked this the last time, do you feel comfortable with the contractor's performance, and or do you see potential litigation coming down the pipe with this whole liquidated damages and potential bond claims?
Am I happy with the performance? No. Am I happy with their product? Yes. It's just the time point that it's taken. We're at the pay estimate. Well, for the month of February, we did not do a pay estimate because they had 18 days of liquidated damages and would owe us, I think it was $906, because they only completed let's see, liquidated damages is $250 a day, 18 days, so $4,500, they only completed about $3,600 of the work. Tells you how unproductive this last month was. So, no, they've been, and I emailed them and said we won't be doing a pay estimate this month because of the lack of production, and we've withheld liquidated damages now for four straight pay periods. Three previous ones, and if we would have done them this month, we would have withheld them. They don't have any litigation against us. There's been no claims of differing site conditions or problems with the spec. That's all been solid. So they've been paying their liquid damage. We're getting everything we can out of them per contract. So I don't see us going after them or having grounds to go after them. Our recourse would be to terminate their contract. But by the time we get somebody else on contract to come and do it, I would assume they can complete their, say 2 or 3 days worth of drilling, and then we'll have to do a pump test and video the well and check it, confirm the straightness and or the deviation and everything. Those will all go quick, and as soon as we do the pump test, Varela has the plans and specs for the pump house ready to go. We're just waiting on what is going to be the static level, the drawdown, the GPM, so they can pick the proper set of poles for our situation.
So I'm not advocating for the termination of the contract, but still do have the concern for the record that at some point the city's going to have to make a decision and let go of the mistake and not hold on to it just because we've made so much, held on to it for such a long time. At what point you have to have been thinking of, all right, if they can't hit these milestones within this time frame, we're going to have a serious conversation on whether you're allowed to continue or not without some sort of guarantee or additional, provisions in the contract. So have those been discussed in the contracting department or the engineering department? Or are we just going to let them go until they finish and hopefully they finish in this decade? Honestly, and I ask that in all seriousness. I've been around this business for a long time, and I've seen these things go sideways. And giving lip service to a government agency, is always easy to do because you can just keep going as long as you're paying. And the litigation and the claims don't come until the very end. And if you got a lot of money, you can do that very easily. You can tie everything up with attorneys, and then it just makes a mess for everybody.
So if it gets to the point where we do not have a chance of getting the pump house built this summer, then we can entertain the idea of terminating them. But we're probably, I don't think we're in the wrong, but we may be opening ourselves up to a lawsuit there if we terminate the project and they're saying, but we're doing everything for contract. We're paying liquidated damages.
And that's why they are paying the damages, because
So as soon as we terminate it, we're probably, by the time we bid out the project, we got to explain and get, are you going to get a contractor who wants to come and set up on a hole that someone else drilled? And
not for cheap.
Not for cheap. And the project's bonded, so we would be able to use their bond to pay for that, but there'd be all kinds of,
to collect on a bond, you have to sue. And I don't think that we're there yet. Your comments are noted, Councilman, and I think he's explained it. Is there any other comments?
That's also holding up doing the water line hooking in.
But the water line is useless until the pump house is built.
Right.
The water line will go in quick. We got lots of contractors around for the water line. So,
is there any other comments?
I just had a. Just read this a little more on the ball fields. We've talked about some ideas for the extra money already. Is there some other things we're going to add to that, or?
Well, the process would be kind of when we know what the dollar amount is, come up with. We've kind of floated out to Public Works, Parks and Rec, or set myself and Kurt, our engineering technician, the mayor, come up with the ideas, and once we know what the dollar amount is, we can kind of prioritize what we think we can get done. And then it really, RCO has to approve if they are eligible ideas. It has to be something that is, the grant is specifically for the ball fields. It has to be something that betters that facility. One example they gave is we couldn't put in playground equipment. That's really, yes, it would benefit the park, but that's not benefiting the ball fields and the use of the ball fields. So sound system has been brought up, you know, PA system. I don't know if that applies. We've talked about wanting to crack seal and slurry seal the pavement, provide sunshades, I've heard misters to keep the area cool.
I suggested a walk path over to Hamlet.
Walk path, yes. I mean, I looked at the list before I came in here. Somewhere I've jotted down all these ideas because eventually I'm going to probably fall on my shoulders to come up with a cost estimate for some of them and see how far we can get our money to go. But most of those ideas probably don't apply to this tracker, so we'll be pulling them out or doing a small risk roster depending on the dollar amounts and having a separate contractor come in and do that work. So whether that will happen, you know, something that we've done in between weekends when both tournaments are going on, or if that'll be something where we've got to wait until things slow down, fall into the pen on what's eligible, what we choose to go with, what RCO allows.
Okay.
Does that make the council meeting worthwhile?
Okay. Is there any other unfinished business, council? Is there any new business? All right. Hearing none, there's no department head reports, so I'll conclude the meeting tonight at 7:02 p.m.